Blog Talk Radio.
Take me to the king. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the king.
Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is, I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die.
Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad that you have stopped by today. We have another exciting show today to bring forth to you today through the Word of God. So please get your paper and pencil out and for sure your Bibles, because that's where we'll be going today. But before we start, we'll say a few moments of prayer. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you are our strength and our song today, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that our mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. All flesh will bless your holy name forever, Lord. The praise be to your glorious name forever. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for every listener that will come on today, every caller that will call in, dear Heavenly Father. We give you the praise and we give you the honor because it's all belong to you. It's nothing we have that belonged to us, but everything was loaned to us, dear Heavenly Father, for a season. And we give you the praise. We give you the honor today. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God. Well, today our show title is When You're in a Hurry, But God Isn't. You know how, as the days go by, you're in such a hustle and bustle, you're rushing here, you're rushing there, you're in a hurry to do this, you're in a hurry to do that. But God isn't. God is sitting still while you running all around like a chicken with a head or his head chopped off. You know, some of the tag words we're going to use today is difficulty, disappointment, disapproval, disaster, dishonest. And, you know, when you're in a hurry, we need patience. When we face difficulties, we need patience. When we face disappointments, we need patience when we fail disapprove. We need patience when we face disaster. And for sure, we need patience when we face dishonest. You know, today, just think about what options are available during times of testing in your life. Flight and flights are certain to use by many people. But James, in James 5:7-12 today tell us, James has another solution. One employed by farmers, prophets, the patriarch Job, the biblical response to the testing of our faith is patient. And that's where we get the name, when you're in a hurry but God isn't, you don't have the patience to wait on what God is doing for you, where God wants to take you. You know, the testing of our faith is patient. Is it any wonder that waiting has become the most hated and frustrating experience in life? Well, today, we're going to talk a little bit about this topic today. When you are in a hurry, but God isn't. My. You know, is it any wonder that waiting had become the most hated and frustrated experience in life? We wait in bank lines. When you go to the bank, the beginning of the month, you wait in a long line to be waited on. Everyone is there trying to cash their check on Fridays. When people get paid, you're in a line. Patient. In supermarket lines, when you get to the supermarket, you say, well, I'm going to get there early. And you get behind somebody that have a lot of coupons. You don't have no patience. When you get to the doctor's office, there are a line at the doctor's office. And you say, well, how can they wait on this many people? It's 10 people in the doctor's office when you get there. And all of you all got an appointment for 9 o'clock or 9:30. He can only see. He or she can see one patient at a time. Hurry. When you're in a hurry, but God isn't. Just think about that. On the freeway, you're trying to get somewhere. You know you're running late. And of all time, it's a pileup, it's a wreck. Somebody's going slow. You're in a hurry, but God isn't. In the restaurant, we wait to be seated. When you're going out on the weekend with your family, a lot of other people decide they're going out for the weekend too. And there you come up on the line, patience again. Then you wait for the menu. You're sitting at your table. I'm just showing you about how you're in a hurry, but God isn't. You wait to place your order. Then you got to wait for your food. And you said, well, isn't it coming? They got to cook what you want all the time, what you ask for. That's on the menu. It's not cooked and prepared, so they make sure it's fresh. They got to cook it while you're waiting. And waiting in line to pay the check. When you get up, you keep watching to see when there's nobody there. But when you finally decide to get up, you get up and five or six other people get up and get in line to be waited on to pay your check at the restaurant. And the restaurant called the people overseeing this process the waiter. Wrong. The customer is the waiter because you feel you've been waiting a long time for the waiter to come to your table. We're talking about when you're in a hurry, but God isn't. And while we wait, we fret. I was thinking of that. You're fretting the whole time you're waiting. You're in a hurry. If you are a person who get tired of waiting, then James 5, 7 through 12 is for you today. The word patient, enduring, perseverance are mentioned no less than six times in everything that I'm going to explain to you today. You know, patience is the quality that the Apostle Paul continues stressing as a requirement for a godly life. Today we're talking about hurry. You're in a hurry, but God isn't. And you know, you're going to discover the different traits today needed during times of testing. See, a lot of these times you're being tested and you don't even realize it. You know, here Apostle Paul continually stressing as a requirement for a godly life. He mentioned it in his first letter to the Corinthians. In his list of qualities that characterize love, here it includes it as one of the nine traits, which he called the fruit of the Spirit, which you will find in Galatians. When he described to the Ephesians a life worthy of God's calling, he included the traits of long-suffering. He also included when he gave the Colossians a list of godly qualities with which Christians should clothe themselves. He stressed it to the Thessalonians and command his own life through the Corinthians and to Timothy, partly because patience is one of his character traits. As we go through the scriptures today, I'm going to start off with number one. We need patience when we face difficulties. Remember I told you you're going to hear that word difficulty? You know, the wicked wealth have committed all kinds of injustice against the believer. As we saw in the first six verses of chapter 5, now James will remind his Christian friends that no matter what evil has been done to them, they are not to retaliate against people or against God. He is somewhat returning to the theme with which he began his letter. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You see that in James 1 and 2. And it say in James 1 and 2, let me read that for you. It say, Jesus, the servant of God, of Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know, long and heated. Don't be a hot-headed. Don't lose your cool. You know, the word for patience is, which stress, non-retaliation. It means to hold one's spirit in check. This aspect of patience is the ability to suffer a long time under the mistreatment of others without growing resentful or bitter. You know, the occasion for exercising this quality are numerous. They vary from malicious wrong all the way to seemingly innocent practical jokes. They include ridicule, scorn, insult. My. When you think about that, on growing resentment or bitter, and the occasion for exercise, this quality are numerous. They vary from malicious, wrong, all the way to seemingly innocent, practical jokes. They include ridicule, scorn, insult, and undeserving rebuke, as well as outright persecution. You know, the Christian who is the victim of office politics or organizational power play must react with long suffering. The believer's husband or wife who is rejected or mistreated by an unbeliever spouse need this kind of patience. You know, Jesus Christ is the perfect illustration of long suffering. He was verbal and physically abused. He was spit upon. I know some of y'all have been spit upon. Some of you all have been falsely accused, beat, and some have been nailed to the cross. He suffered much but did not retaliate. This is Jesus. You'll find that in 1 Peter 2, 21 and 23. And it's in your Bible, if you haven't tore it out, and I'm going to go over to 1 Peter 2 and read verse 21 and 23. And it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. But who did no sin, neither was guilty found in his mouth." My. And on verse 23, it said, "Who, when he was reviled, rebelled not against when he suffered, but he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." My. When you think about that, all what Jesus went through for us. Until Jesus come and rights a wrong, the believer is to leave vengeance in his hand. For the early believers, the wait could not have scanned too long, for they expected that the Lord was coming back in their lifetime. And you'll find that information in 1 Corinthians 1 and 7. And we're going to turn over to that and read that in 1 Corinthians 1 through 7. 1 and 7, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. And we're going to read, "What thus saith the Lord." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 1 and 7 says, "So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, you can go to Philippians 3:20, 4 through 5, Colossians 3, 4 and 1, Thessalonians 1, 9 through 10, Titus 2 and 13. Then you can go to 1 John 3, 2 and 3. You know, James and his brother Judah was farmers. This explains why James so often used vivid illustrations from farm life. The farmers depended on two rainy periods in the agriculture year, one in the fall following planting, meaning early rain, And one in the spring before harvest means latter rain. And you'll find that information in Deuteronomy 11th chapter, the 4th verse. Also Jeremiah the 5th chapter, 24th verse. And Joel the 2nd chapter in the 23rd verse. The farmers had no choice but to be patient between those rains. Even while waiting on the life-giving rain to come, likewise, the believer must also learn to live in anticipation of Christ's return and not get upset when the circumstances are difficult. You know, as they waited for the return of the Lord, the believer of James' days had no cause to worry. That 30 years had elapsed since Christ had promised to return. You know, for us today, however, more than 1,900 years have passed. Do we have the right to complain? The time period between the first mention of a coming Redeemer in Genesis 3 and 5 until the first coming of Christ was a significant longing, longer than 1,900 years. You know, therefore, we should not grow impatient with his second coming. The patience that is to be, explained in the light of the Lord's return is not to be passive. In fact, James exhorted his readers to establish their heart. You'll find that in 5 and 8 of James. The text literally says, make firm your hearts. James came upon the readers themselves to take this matter in hand. It is their personal duty to develop an attitude of courage and firmness in facing their circumstances. We're still talking today about being in a hurry, when you're in a hurry, but God isn't. You know, number two, we need patience when we face disappointments. What do we usually do when we begin to experience suffering? We complain to anyone who will listen. We lash out at each other because of the pressure we are facing. And we are feeling. You know, James warns us against hurting others. Then we are hurt. When pressure mounts, there is a temptation to divide. However, there is when the family of God must come together. When we are experiencing difficult times, and we look around at other Christians who seem to be enjoying life, what do we do? When we have lost our jobs and our best friend's husband just got a promotion, what do we do? Do we groan and grumble within ourselves? You know, James reminds those who might be tempted to lash out that they should consider the intimate return of Christ for judgment. You know, in this word, the judge is standing at the door. How it should have motivated them to know that the judge could at any moment step into the middle of their conversation and evaluate them, and knowing that even unexpressed things would be judged, should have been a sobering thought. You know, the sinner is only one heartbreak away from the judge. But when death strikes, the grumbler and the one that's always grumbling enters the presence of God, who will judge him for every idle word he has spoken out of his or her mouth. Everyone who passed through the portal of death meet the judge on the other side. Today, we are talking about when you're in a hurry, but God isn't. You know, one of my third points is we need patience when we face disapproval. You know, at least 11 passages in the New Testament refer to the persecution of the prophet. You'll find that in Matthew 5, 11 through 12, 23 to 37, Luke 6 and 20 to 23, Acts 7 and 52. Also, James agreed with other New Testament reference that the prophets suffered not because they did wrong, but because they did right. Let me say that again. The prophets suffer not because they did something wrong or said something wrong. They suffer because they did what was right. God had told them what to say and what to do. They spoke in the name of the Lord. They was disapproved of by their contemporary and persecutor for that testimony. My. You know, James himself must have been among the number. But secluded historians tell us he died a violent death because he would not denounce the messiahship of Jesus. My. You know, he was actually thrown down from the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem by order of Ananias, the high priest. Throughout his internal life, throughout his entire life, he knew what it was like to suffer. He spake and spoke to his friends as a fellow sufferer. You know, point number four is we need patience when we face disasters. You know, there's a word shift in the text here. James leads the word. And the idea of non-retaliation used the word hypomis, which means steadfast, enduring, long-suffering, usually describing the attitude that a person has when he is pressured by other people. Here we back on patient again. Usually denote the response to circumstances. You know, God allows Satan to test Job's faithfulness to God. You know, Satan thought if all of Job's blessings was removed, he would curse God. In full swift stroke, Satan decimated all that Job had. Satan warriors kill his servants and take his oxes and donkeys. You'll find that in Job 1:14 and 15. And I'm going to turn over to that. It's in your Bibles. If you haven't tore your pages out, where you can read it also. Because we are talking about today. You're patient, you're in a hurry, but God isn't. And we want you to read that for yourself. We don't want to say something that you will not know for certain that's in the Word of God. We're going to go to Job, the very first chapter of Job. Hallelujah. I have someone on. Caller, you're now on the air. Would you like to say something?
Praise the Lord this morning, Madam Host. Are you all right this morning?
Yes, sir. I am fine.
Praise God. This is your prophet of accountability, Prophet Andrew Sims of Yahweh School of the Prophets.
Praise God.
This is a wonderful subject that you're on this morning, and I'm just so delighted to be a part of the program. I just want to serve notice to the listening audience that what you're speaking on about God and being patient is going to cut a lot of people to the bone.
Yes, yes.
The reason why I come that most people are impatient and don't have patience because they don't have the fruit of the Spirit.
All right.
In order to have the fruits of the Spirit, to be patient according to the Word of God, in Galatians, you have to be able to go through long suffering.
Yes, you can't, yes.
You can't be patient without long suffering. And here's another thing that's been to let a lot of your listeners know. If you don't have the fruit of the Spirit with long suffering, then you really don't know God.
Mm.
Uh-oh, because if you know God, you'll be able to go through it.
Yeah.
See, that's how the apostles were able to be persecuted and crucified upside down. They knew, because of the relationship with God, what they would have to endure. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yes, and I'm glad that you did come on, Prophet, because I was just telling them, when I'm going to step up a little bit, we need patience when we face disapproval. And I was talking about from James, how James agreed with other Testament reference that the prophets suffer, not because they did wrong, but because they did right. And they spoke in the name of the Lord. They was disapproved of by their contemporary and about the persecution for their testimony. And then I went down to my fourth point where we need patience when we face disaster. And I started talking about the warriors, how Satan had came and killed his servant of Job and had taken his oxen. And I had went to Job 1:14-15, and the word of God said, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the ox was plying and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabinas fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they had slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escape alone to tell thee. My. And here I go on under this one with the how they was facing disaster. Here they had fire from heaven consume his sheep and the servant watching them. That's in Job 1:16. And it say, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen upon heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And to tell, to tell thee and to tell them. Ooh, my. The Chaldeans take all of his camels and kill the servant watching them. That's in 17. While he was yet speaking, there came also to another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slay the servant with the edge of the sword, and I am only escaped, only to tell thee. Here he was steadily coming back, telling Job what Satan was doing. Here Job's children are killed when their house fell on them. You'll find that in the 18th and the 19th verse of 1 Job. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters was eaten, drinking wine in thy eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they all dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. You know, in addition to losing his property, Job lost. Oh, I got a caller. Want to come on? Praise God. Praise God. Good morning, caller. You are now on the air. Welcome to Joy and Peace.
Well, thank you, woman of God. This is Minister Mitchell from Houston. And I have an acclamation on, I heard you speak about suffering.
Yes,
In order to acquire the promises of God, we have to go through. Now, there's a paradoxical viewpoint here, and it comes to the place where when we suffer, we will suffer. The Bible says that we will suffer in order to accumulate and in order to become the representative that Christ wants us to be. And I have its purpose of suffering is to become superior. There's a twofold situation here. In order to become superior with God, we have to be transformed in his image. And as we walk openly with the transformation, we walk in the purification and the manifestation of God. And as these things are pointed out, we know who Christ is. Christ is the Lord. He's God who commands the light, and he commands everything that happens to us universally. But when we suffer according to 2 Corinthians. When we are in the suffering mode, the nature of the suffering, we're going to find trouble. We find perplexity. We are persecuted. We are struck down. We are punished as the outer man. But then there's victory through suffering. All of the trouble we have encountered, all the perplexity, despair, or the persecutions, or the being struck down or destroyed, our inner man is renewed through the sufferings. And there are immediate blessings that we can acquire through the sufferings. We will bear the marks of who we are as Christians. They'll be able to see through the suffering who we really are. We identified through the suffering. You can look at man. You can recall his gestures, his response, his conversation. Everything makes a change through the suffering. There's a privilege in bearing the mark of suffering. And what are these privileges? Well, the privilege of the glory of God that comes into our lives. The glory shines in our lives. We look different. We smell different. We taste different. We are different. We are the models of God. And in the suffering, in some of the pain that we encounter, our minds are transformed. Our lives become different. We are unusual, the unusual body of saints of God, that everybody can see that it's something different. Through the suffering, God became a different substance to mankind. He understood why we think like we think, why our minds change, why we act like we act, the pain that we consider, because he went to the cross for that. So he understands, and he knows exactly how much we can encounter and how much we cannot give up. But the blessings here are we are proved through suffering. We become independent of man and dependent on Christ. We become superior. We are open to the aspirations of what God has for us. We honor him. We are confident in the compelling of things that we need to do. We are separated from the world, but we become united with Christ.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Mitchell. Thank you so much. I'm hoping that our listening audience are listening in, or they'll come on the archives later, because this is going to be a very wonderful topic and a show. Because, you know, additional to losing through the disaster, and as you were saying, and the prophet was saying on the suffering, you know, addition to losing his property, Job lost his health and his wife moral support. You know, his wife even told him he should curse God and die. And just on yesterday, I give a press report in the behalf of my son this morning, where a young man at the center told my son that he didn't need to curse God, that he was an atheist, that he didn't believe in God, and he wanted to do this to God. And and my son said, wait a minute, I'm a Christian, I love God, and I believe in God. I've got to move. I've got to move from around you. I got to move around, because what I'm hearing from you is not registered in my spirit. So we see when disaster comes, when you in a hurry, what can happen? But God isn't. And, you know, three comforters came to see, you know, three of his comforters came to see Job and told him that his suffering was due to some terrible sin in his life. You know, Satan has cast him on a dung heap. But he made the dung heap a throne in the presence of the great God. You know, Satan affected him with swords and balls. We've all read that story. But Job made them signets of honor. There were citations and medals all over him, and Job made Satan eat his word. You know, you can make Satan eat his word with the word of God. He made Satan confess that he was a liar, and God was in it all. You know, God's purpose to give Job a double for everything he had included his grace and his love. And to do that, Job had to suffer, just like we suffer. For grace and love do not come in any other way than through great trials and suffering. Do I have anything else from my guests on this morning that want to say something else in that area? On area code 770 or 713. Hallelujah. You know, as Job responded to his difficulties, trials, the purpose of God was realized in his life. You know, and as you read the book of Job and respond to his situation, you see, you know, the effect that these trials ultimately had on his life. Did I have someone want to say something at this point? You know, though he did not always understand, he persevered to the end. But when he got a fresh vision of God and his sovereignty, Job, I'm going to go to Job 19 right quick and see what he was saying. My. When we go Job 19:25 and through 27, it says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my rend be consumed within me." My. Here Job is letting you know. And I went over to Job 42, verse 5 and 6. And it said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see." And verse 6 says, "Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." My. And then I turn back over to 10. Hallelujah. And in that same chapter, verse 10, it says, "And the Lord turned the captive of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." And then so the Lord, in verse 12 it says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-ass." And in verse 13, it says, "He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters." Here they're showing with his suffering how God gave Job double for his trouble. Now, remember the title of the lesson is, "When You in a Hurry, But God Isn't." See, Job wasn't in a hurry. He waited on God. And that's what we have to do. We can't be in a hurry. We got to wait on God. Do we have something from our guest that's on the line want to say something today? And then my fifth point, we need patience when we face dishonesty. You know, many commentators have discounted the last verse in this section of James from the first 11 verses, but the connection. But at the beginning of the verse, it's a definite bridge between this final instruction. and that which have gone before. That is a relationship between this prohibition against oaths and the theme of patience. Oath taking was greatly abused in James' days, often as a form of profanity. But James is talking about the practice of discrimination. Oath take during time of hostile confrontation, according to what I'm fixing to say now. In times of persecution, one may be tempted to deny his guilt by reinforcing his statement with an oath. An oath called upon God as a witness to one's statement and implication him to punish the swear if falsehood is spoken. You know, many have taken the word of James and of James and of Jesus on oath taking. You'll find that in Matthew's, the 5th chapter, and the 33rd through the 37th. I'm going to turn over there for you all that may not have your Bibles right there before you. I'm going to turn to Matthew's, the 5th chapter, and read what does say the Lord, not what overseers say, but what the Word of God is saying. And the Word of God is saying in Matthew's, the 5th chapter, starting with the 34th, third verse, it says, again, ye have heard that it had been said by them of old times, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. And in verse 35, it says, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, but it is the city of the great king. And we go to verse 36. It says, neither shall thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. And verse 37 say, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these coming of evil. My. You know, to teach that Christians are forbidden from taking an oath in a court of law. However, there are several occasions in the Bible where God is taken in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. I'm going to turn on over there to Genesis because I don't want to leave nothing by chance. I'm going to go over to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And we're going to read the 16th and to the 17th verse. And the word of God says, and unto Sarah, he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covenant of the eye. Wait a minute. No, I'm reading the wrong. I'm right. 22nd. Okay, I thought I was reading the wrong thing. 16. And to Sarah, he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes and to all that are with thee and with all others. Thus she was reproved. Verse 17 says, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Amalek and his wife and his maidservant, and they bare children. My. Here they're talking about others using oath without sin. Whenever I utter the formula, I swear by God, I am really saying, now I'm going to mark off an area of absolute truth and put walls around it to cut it off from the muddy floods of untruthfulness and irresponsibility that ordinarily overrun my speech. In fact, I'm saying that even more than this, I'm saying that people are expecting me to lie from the start. And just because they are counting on my lying, I have to bring up these big guns of oath and the word of honor. My. You know, in ancient Hebrew, scribes would bathe and get a new pen before writing God's name in a scroll they were copying. They were extremely careful so as not to defile his holy name. Dare we, by our flippant oath, invoke God's name, show less respect for the name of God than they, rather than using God's name in impatience or retaliation. The believer is to proceed patiently under trials, persevere, waiting upon the Lord has been modeled for us in the lives of the farmers, the prophet, and Job. You know, as I was reading that in Job 5:7-12, and I was reading, I came up with a question to which kind of masters were slaves supposed to submit themselves to? You know, good and considering as well as hard. You know, I had to say, what is the difference between suffering when you do wrong and suffering when you have done nothing wrong? Can I get one of my guests to explain that to the audience today? What is the difference between suffering when you do wrong and suffering when you've done nothing wrong? And I heard one of our guests come on telling you about that suffering. And two of our guests came on this morning with that. And who are to believers to look to as example or how to respond to suffering? It's Christ. You know, and I thought about what two things Christ did not do. And the one thing he did that set a pattern for believers to follow. And I came up, you might come up with something else. I came up, he did not retaliate when insulted and made no trouble when he suffered. He not then breathed when he suffered. He put himself in God's hand. And when you think about it, why was Christ contented not to respond with revenge? He knew that God was in total control. Do y'all know that God is in control today? All of you all that's always in a hurry, that God is in control. You expect him to be a Santa Claus. You went to him this morning in prayer about a situation. Tonight about 10 o'clock, you hadn't heard from God. You done got in a hurry. You want to take it from God, but God isn't in a hurry. You just got to wait. You got to have patience. He's not a microwave where everything got to be done instantly. Because a lot of you are in a hurry, just like I mentioned earlier in my presentation to you today. You're standing in the line in the bank. You're in a hurry. You're waiting at the doctor's office. You're in a hurry. They give you an appointment, and you say, well, why'd they give me an appointment? And it's 10 other people got an appointment for 9:30 or for 10 o'clock. They all can't get seen. We all can't see the doctor at 10:30. At 10 o'clock, it's too many of us here. We're in a hurry. I just wrote some things down to let you know how much you can stay in a hurry. You're in a hurry at the restaurant. You're in a hurry because the waiter haven't come to the table. But you're looking at a room full of people that's all waiting to be served, to get the menu. So when you think about that, waiting has become the most hated and frustrating experience in your life. We have another caller that have come on the line. Let us bring this caller in. Good morning, caller. You are now on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you doing today?
I am doing fine. Would you like to
say
something?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. I just wanted to tap in on you.
Yes, ma'am. I am so glad you came in. Thank you so much. I am glad that you came on. Would you like to say something to the listening audience? We have a little.
Well, I would just like to say a Bible verse. Matthew,
yes, ma'am.
5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Yes, ma'am.
And God bless you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Success.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for coming on. Prophetess,
right.
Area code 409. And if you can keep your number jotted down, we come on every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. And we would love to have you all come on. Every one of my listeners that's listening and have called in, I thank area code 770 for coming on. Area code 713 for speaking today too. I enjoyed all of you. And area code 409. I have two for 409. One is at her job, at her desk. She can't speak, but I sure thank you for coming on. And I just want to give you some examples on when you're in a hurry, but God isn't. And you know for yourself, I know y'all can probably talk all day on that. I'm in a hurry. I'm on the freeway. This one is going too slow in front of me. It's a pile of
grumbling and complaining.
That's right.
Right.
You go to the restaurant. You want to wonder why they ain't waiting on you. You got a restaurant full of people. You're waiting in line at the bank to cash your check, whether it's payday or you're going to get money out of the bank. You know, I give different examples this morning. You waited to be seated. Some place when you go in, they say, wait to be seated. You don't just go in and just take a seat. Some say, wait to be seated. Some, even if the restaurant is real full, you have to take a number. They put your name on a book. That's waiting. Uh-huh. You're at the doctor's office, especially a lot of people that go to the doctor's office. They say, well, they give me an appointment for 9 o'clock. 15 people show up. What time your appointment? Mine's for 9. Well, how can they see all of us at the same time? And then the doctor haven't come in. They're running late. So you got double people. You got the 9 o'clock. You got the 9:30 people. You got the 10 o'clock. Then you got the 10:30 people. And before you know it, your whole day is gone, and you're still sitting at the doctor's office.
At the doctor's office.
But and I use that because that's a good one a lot of people complain about. It's the doctor's office. At the line at the bank, and don't talk about the grocery store. When you go to the store, you expect to go in, you're getting one item. You may be going in there to get a half a gallon of milk. And unless it's somebody really is godly, say, oh, ma'am, you can go before me because I got a basket full, or I got 10 items. They say 1 to 10 items. I don't mind you going in front of me, but they're in a hurry. When they get to the car, they're in a hurry. They're trying to back up. Somebody's backing up too slow. Somebody's not moving fast enough. When you're in a hurry. And I just give a lot of examples this morning.
Praise
about when you're in a hurry, but God isn't. And, you know, we need patience. I brought that up today.
God
we need patience when we face difficulties in our life. We need patience when we face disappointments in our life. We need patience when we face disapproval in our life. We need patience when we face disasters in our life. And for sure, we need patience when we face dishonesty. And I brought up Job as a good example to let people know how Job waited on God. Even with his friends, his wife that talked against God, he know who he was serving. Today, I put the question to all my listeners, do you know who you really serving today? Do you have patience waiting on God? Or do you want to take it and take off and let everything just come up wrong? Or are you going to wait on God today? Are you in a hurry today? Just think about it. Are you going to wait on God where you can get double for your trouble? Or are you going to take it in your hand and don't get nothing? But if you wait patiently on God, God will open every door, every avenue for you that you didn't even dream possible that could be open for you. But I want to tell all my guest that came on today. Thank you for coming in, and do tune in next week. And for you all that would like to hear other broadcasts that have been gone forth already, go to the archives of the program, and you can pull up any one of the programs that you can hear that would you would like to hear that day. And we come on Wednesday, but it's other days that I will be bringing broadcasts on. And if any of my listeners, area code 713, I would love to have you to come on as a guest. Just let me know. We can discuss whatever you want to talk about, and I will have you to come on. We can come on and stay on as long as we want. I do an hour, I do 2 hours. And so if you would like to come on, get you a topic together, get with me, and I put certain things on that main tag words we can use like I used on mine today, on the ones I just had on difficulty, disappointment, whatever you may have. I would love to have you come on. And area code 770, you know I love to have you on every week, whatever topic you come on with. And our newcomer to the line, area code 409-443, I would love to have you to come on and share with the listening audience something God has put down on the inside of you, because we're all in this thing together. You know, we got to spread the word of God by whatever mean God, and God have given me the mean of Blog Talk Radio. So I'm going to close my program off today, but we'll close with a prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for what our ears have heard today. We thank you for every listener that will tune into the broadcast today. We give you the praise. We give you the honor today, dear Heavenly Father, because if it had not been for you on our side, where would we be? If it had not been for you that put me on Blog Talk, for the 4 years that I've been on, God, I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for each and every person that tune in to the show, dear Heavenly Father, now or later with the archive. Those that want to put the show, saying it's a popular show, they like the show, they enjoy the show, they would love to come on the show. Let them just contact me by phone, or let them come on Blog Talk and just leave me a comment or leave me a message, and I will surely get in touch with you. And I love each and every one of you all. And I've only put it on for an hour today. I went over an hour, which is no problem. But if any one of you all would like to come on, feel free to let me know. I would love to have you on. And thank you for calling that's sitting at your desk, that I know you can't say anything because you're at your workplace, but you just don't know how much you illuminate and help me when you come on by just showing up on the line. That's a help in itself. That keeps me encouraged just to keep on, to come on with more topics that God give me. And this topic today fits everybody on all the shows on Blog Talk throughout from beginning to end. When you're in a hurry, but God isn't. I want y'all to have a wonderful and a blessed day in the Lord. I love each and every one of y'all. Y'all know if I had the tentacles of an octopus, I would hug each and every one of y'all and tell you just how much I love you. Bye-bye, and have a wonderful and a blessed day in the Lord.
All right. Be blessed.